Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to the Coach and Coordinator Podcast. Today, we take another page out of my notebook and we focus on promoting and building your program. We're specifically going to talk about promoting your program and building it with your junior high athletes. I want to start with just some general comments and thinking about how we work today in today's society. And when I look back at how I grew up, I recall not having many choices. I know we had a 13-inch color TV that received three network channels. There was no remote. If we wanted to change a channel, we actually had to get up and turn a knob. There were no video game consoles or DVD players hooked up into it. I know we've even moved beyond DVD players. In the fall, I played football. In the winter, it was basketball. In the spring, baseball. And there weren't many things to think about or do besides those three sports. And growing up in Northeast Ohio, football dominated the others. As I've raised my children, I realized that every day they had a multitude of choices about what they could do to entertain and occupy themselves. Unfortunately, there's always the bad influences, but we strive and hope that through proper parenting and organized sports that will enable our youth to steer clear of activities that negatively impact them. In fact, kids today have so many choices that if we as coaches aren't actively promoting our football programs and the game of football and constantly showing the lower levels of the program that there are benefits of coming through and graduating from them, they will inevitably choose to do some other things and be influenced by either other people or other activities and will miss out on the opportunities that we have for them in football. And I know that football is not for everybody, but I really believe that it is a sport that does open itself to really all types of kids, all types of body types. There's work for everybody there. If you heard my podcast with Angus Reed, he talked about all the opportunities that kids have on the field to get involved. So clearly, if your philosophy is just to open the door and take what you get, you're never really going to be able to maximize the potential of your program in today's world. Even if you're a public high school who has only the limited resource of that pool of players who are in your hallways, you still have to promote the program because those kids and their parents have to want to be a part of it. They have to have that desire that this is an activity that they're going to put their family's time into. It was 2004 after my first season at a big school program, and we were faced with some harsh adversity that threatened the future of the program at all levels. We just come off the second best season in school history. We rewrote the record books. But unfortunately, our future was in the hands of the voters who nixed a school levy and forced a first-time $450 pay-to-play fee. We never had fees before. The administrators kind of forewarned us that this was going to be a fight for us to maintain our varsity roster. We would probably lose numbers at our lower levels. And they felt that we would also be really hurt in our fundraising. So they were encouraging us to plan ahead for that. But really, this turned out to be a blessing in disguise and really changed the way I thought about developing a program. And certainly then went on to influence the way I thought about recruiting and building a rapport with recruits and players at the college level. For us, this all started with putting a plan into action. The first task we needed to accomplish was to get the attention and support of the parents. Now, if you've been a part of any of these things where there's going to be a big school levy up, it's going to affect a lot of people. Usually, there's a lot of those stakeholder meetings where the administration is trying to talk to parents, trying to encourage them and rally their support. And in this case, that was true for us as well. The parents in the district were already at plenty of levy meetings. They already were sitting down with a lot of people, so we had to figure out a way to get in front of them. And this is before the days of social media. Today, that certainly would be a resource for us that we could use social media as a way to help and influence that. And I would employ those formats and those platforms today, certainly. But for us, we found all of the resources that we needed to get in front of them within our district. So we used the high school TV studio, and the students who were in that class that were football players, we had some that really enjoyed football and agreed to take part in this and help us as well. And they produced a video that showed and explained the value of our program. They really did a good job. So this just wasn't some kids on a cheap camera. This was very slickly produced by those students, and it really looked professional. And it was exciting. It had highlights of our program. It had some heartfelt messages from our players and the parents in our program, as well as myself, explaining why our program was something beneficial in which everybody should be involved. And our seniors who were part of it earnestly discussed what it meant for them to go through our program. So the next part, I think, is really important. And while I mentioned that today you could get the message out that you don't necessarily need to be in front of people to deliver a message, that was kind of one of the objectives here. But this was prior to the time of any of the social media. I do feel it's still important to get in front of people. So what we had a problem with was getting in front of the parents, and so what we did next really was the solution. So we arranged times during lunch periods at our schools for interested students from the sixth grade and higher to meet with some of our more popular players who helped us sell the program, and we did this all the way through the high school. We provided pizza as a draw for the students, and at the end of the lunch period, every prospective student athlete left with a letter and a video to take home and watch with their parents. Now, at that time, I really date myself, we were giving out VHS tapes. We spent some money, we spent some budget on the VHS tapes, probably several hundred dollars with all of those that we made, and those went home with the kids along with a message. The message in the video was directed, as I said, both to the parents and the players. These were letters addressed to them at home, and they were tailored to each grade level as our follow-up plan. So we used old school, as they call it, snail mail to get that done. As a part of our follow-up, we had activities plan, which allowed us to connect with all the potential players in our program. We hosted a video game tournament for the junior high and freshman levels, and that was a football game tournament. I don't recall at the time if it was NCAA, if it was Madden, but I know we hosted a football video game tournament. And on the varsity level, we arranged monthly activities to keep our current players and some of those potential high school players involved in the program throughout the off season. We were sure to hold those activities when all of our athletes could attend, even if there were those who were multi-sport guys involved in other sports at that time. And we encouraged our players to recruit and bring along other student-athletes or potential student-athletes to those activities if they thought they would be a good addition to our program. So it allowed us to do some recruiting in our hallways and get those guys involved kind of in the culture of our team without maybe the, I guess, something that would be intimidating, like maybe bringing them into the weight room the first time. I know a kid who maybe doesn't have those experiences, hasn't been a part of the team. It was a little less intimidating for them to maybe come to one of these events where they were going to come and have fun and interact with other players on the team rather than go right into a workout not knowing what to expect. The recruiting program for the high school players, potential high school players, was a combination of activities that were fun, challenging, and helpful to the community. Our fun and challenging events were a video game tournament, same thing for them. They really liked when we had that youth video game tournament and wanted one of their own, so we did create that for them. We had a father-son basketball tournament. We had a strongman competition and a challenge-type competition. It was a conditioning activity on a place in our town called Crown Hill. It was a little bit of a hill, and we did an activity there. And we strategically scheduled those events to be on what we had identified as some of the worst attended days of the off-season training. And we turned those into some of the best attended days of our off-season program. And typically those were going to be days that maybe were the last workout before finals. It might have been the last workout before spring break. Those were usually some of the poorest attended. And we turned those actually into some of the highest attended days of our off-season. We also developed an attitude of giving back to the community. We didn't want our players developing an attitude of blaming the community for the new costs of participation. So we gave our team the opportunity to get out and do things. And they put in thousands of hours of their time to help refurbish playgrounds, to read to kids at elementary schools. And another way to get those young kids thinking about the football program, we put them in their jerseys, send them to the elementary schools, and have them read. We cleaned up the city parks, and we volunteered as instructors in some of our youth camps. Once we had those eighth graders, really, those guys were going to be a transition into the high school going and getting involved in our activities, then we started implementing our lifting program. Again, we felt it was kind of a way that would be less intimidating. Those guys had a chance to interact with some of the high school kids, see what those guys were about. They had an opportunity to interact with the high school coaches, understand what the high school coach is about. And then on those days, we wouldn't bring them into the varsity lifting program. We would do it on days when our weight room wasn't going to be occupied. And at times that were good for those guys to come in. It was usually only 2 days a week to start until we got to the summer. In addition to that, we had a freshman orientation for them in July at the time, and it was including the parents as well in a meeting, and again explaining our program, another opportunity to promote what we're doing. And then we would spend time in a mini camp with those freshmen, just the freshmen, varsity coaches and freshman coaches, giving them the opportunity to work and understand our systems and understand the way we wanted things done at the high school level. I thought one thing that was really impactful to those guys and something we got a great response from was the card that we put together for them. And the idea really came from when I was being recruited in college and getting all kinds of mail. And the best piece of mail that came through, one that really stuck out in my mind, was a card. And it was pretty simple. It was kind of a looked like someone had sketched it, and it was kind of a sketch of a locker in their locker room. It had, a helmet and jersey. And then on the nameplate there, they had my name written in. And on the inside, a very simple message was, "There's a place for you here." And so I took that and we created a card like that. I'll share a picture of that in our show notes and sent that message out to the students. Again, that was something that went home. It was something tangible, wasn't something digital. I still believe that those things have some of the biggest impact. If you look at what's done at the college level, the handwritten note or the handwritten letter carries a lot more weight than some of those form letters or emails that those players might get. So I think it's very effective, still is very effective today. I recently heard about a great idea and I saw Rob Curran, who's the head football coach at Alden High School. He's been a guest on the podcast. He's written a few blogs about his involvement in our advanced tackling system. He had a t-shirt made up that just said, "Alden football, more fun than Fortnite" underneath that. And I thought that was pretty cool. And his message, and I'll share the tweet as well so you could see it. And his message in the tweet was, "In my humble opinion, Friday night will always be more fun than Fortnite. Join us as we work to provide an authentic experience that will help build character and confidence. Nothing virtual about this reality." I thought that was a great message. I know in having an eighth grader here at home, that kid is always on Fortnite. It's driving us crazy. We'd like to see him get out into the world and interact with people. And he's a three-sport athlete, so he does that. But I thought that what Coach Curran did here was a pretty poignant message and definitely relevant today to what some of these kids are faced with. And again, the things that take them away from your football program and the opportunities you have to impact their lives. I'll put Coach's tweet in our show notes along with a picture of that card. I have our junior high recruiting plan from the second year we did this, which was altered a little bit. I'll take a picture of that as well. I have all those on paper right now. Not quite sure where my digital copies are, but I will share those in our show notes. And somewhere I have that recruiting video. And when I have that, I'll be sure that we share that, whether that's on social or in our blogs. So the results of this, first of all, were pretty unbelievable. Our staff, again, we were faced with some adversity. We had heard from everybody on the outside that we were going to be hurt, that our numbers were going to be down, our fundraising was going to be down. And the result was that we not only maintained our roster numbers, we increased them and fielded the biggest roster in school history. We increased our numbers at all levels in 2 years in a row, and we increased our fundraising. And we did this through a sound plan that showed the benefits of what we were doing in our program and added value to the parents and players who were deciding if the $450 for 10 Friday nights was worth it. As I noted, we were also told that our fundraising was going to take a hit. And our greatest surprise was that our goodwill to the community, paired with what we did to show the value of our program, increased our fundraising that season and each year thereafter. So our takeaways, what we learned from this. The adversity we faced put us in a survival mode. Our backs were to the wall, and we had to do more than just fight, but rather do something in both the short and long term to keep our program thriving. As we continue to go through the process, we really understood that we were on to something. We had become a stronger program. And by our third year in the program, a team that had come through the system at the lower levels without a winning season had pulled together and posted a winning record as seniors. We were outwardly and actively selling our program and making a difference in the lives of kids who had become a part of it. And the activities that we put together helped us build a strong player-to-player and coach-to-player connection. We were in touch with and impacting young players we might have not even known until they were in high school. And most importantly, we were actively showing them the benefits of our program and engaging a committed group of youngsters and their parents. Overall, we were developing a culture in which football was valued in spite of the potential cost to families. Because remember, this was something that was free, and now it was going to cost them $2,700 to participate in it from junior high through the high school. So having a plan for involvement at all levels is very important in today's multiple choice on-demand society. As coaches, if we are not out promoting our program and the value of being a part of it, something else will grab the attention of those prospective student athletes and their families. It might be Fortnite. It might be something worse. It might be another sport. But then they're going to miss out on the opportunities where we could have made a difference for them, where we could impact them in a different way, where they miss out on the benefits of our program. So I encourage you to use this as an example. Reach out to me if you have any questions. I would love to help you solve some problems, give some feedback on some things that you're thinking about with your staff. Would love to have some interaction with this, whether that's on the phone, on social media. I encourage you to follow our new account for football coaches on Twitter. It's at FBDEV Coach, at Football Dev Coach. The site you'll see on there is Football Development. We have a new website, footballdevelopment.com, which shares our systems we've put together for high school programs. It's also working at the youth programs, and there's college programs and even NFL programs who do some of the things that we do within our systems. And as always, check out our blogs where we share a ton of great information from analysis articles to coaching articles, and that's at blogs.usafootball.com. I want to thank you for your support. You guys have been great in listening to the podcast. I want to continue to give you some great content here. Always give feedback. And if you're loving the podcast, please head over to iTunes and go to the rate and review. It's at the bottom of the feed. If you don't have a lot of time, click a 5-star review. If you have a time and can write some comments in there, it's helpful as well. I appreciate all of you, and we'll be in touch soon.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.